tonight to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. You know, one of the great characteristics of Joshua was that he was a man of valor and a man of courage, and we want to talk about that tonight and how we develop courage and how we develop valor and how we overcome our fears and our apprehension. And you know what? I was just thinking a moment ago, the very epitome of fear, rejection, has already been manifested here tonight. When a man gets up here and leads a song, walking in sunlight when it is pouring down rain outside. You have to really appreciate that, Dwayne. I know you'd already selected those songs, but that is the epitome of courage, I think. But anyway, it's a great song. And you know, the last song that we just sang suggested that Jesus is the one who hides our soul in the cleft of the rock, and that he takes our burden away. And you know, one of the great burdens that all of us face every day, I think, is the burden of fear. I don't know how many times I hear people say, I just wish I wasn't so fearful of life. You know, a lot of people really move by fear. They are governed by fear. What they do is not out of a rational mind, but really out of fear. Sometimes people do a lot of things out of fear. Rash judgment, just simply out of fear. Sometimes we're afraid of people, what people think, what people say, and so people out of fear allow themselves to be conditioned by that kind of fear. And instead of being fearful, we have to be courageous. And I think probably none other than Joshua in the Old Testament was a man who experienced such courage and valor. And so with that in mind, I want you to turn, if you haven't done that already, to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. And I want us to read the first 9 verses here. The Bible begins by saying, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, who was the son of Nun, and Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." That must have been a very horrifying thing for the children of Israel, because Moses truly was a great leader of God's people. You could only imagine, having led them out of Egypt and having led them through the wilderness wanderings, and now probably, it is a very poignant statement, but certainly one that is one that must have moved the Israelites. "Moses, my servant, is dead." But he says, "Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot," he says, "shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Now, could you imagine? Boy, if that wouldn't make you courageous, I don't know what would. I mean, if God says, hey, there is no one who can prevail against you, he said, all the days of your life. And he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Boy, wouldn't you like to hear God speak to you in that way? Probably blow us over. But no wonder Joshua was so courageous. God has said, hey, if you follow me, You won't ever have to worry about anybody prevailing against you. And if you keep my word all the days of your life, he said, this land that I have given you, wherever you put the sole of your foot, will be yours. And he said, not only will that land be yours, but he says, if you follow me, you will be prosperous. I'm going to bless you materially. And I'm going to bless you with great success. You know, fear can grip the heart of a person. It can grip the heart of a nation. Our nation sometimes exhibits tremendous fear over what might be going on, or perhaps maybe what might not be going on. The word fear is an interesting word. A lot of times you read that word in the Old Testament and the Bible says fear not, but there is a Hebrew word that is translated fear, and if you were reading that in the King James Version, you might think it means to be terrorized or to be apprehensive, but that's not really what it means at all. For that word fear that is often used regarding God is a word that really means respect. Respect God. Well, it's like in the Old Testament when Solomon said that we are to fear God and keep his commandments. I've heard people take that out of context and say that means that we ought to be fearful of God. It's like people say sometimes, well, I want to be a member of the church and I want to experience salvation because I'm afraid of going to a place of torment. And that's true, and maybe we do fear that. We all fear that. But at the same time, Solomon is not saying that we are to be terrorized of God or apprehensive of God, but that we are to fear him in the sense that we hold him in reverential awe, that he is to be revered in every way in our life. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. We are to fear God and honor the king. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, fear God and give him the glory, according to the book of Revelation chapter 14. And so over and over in the Bible, we understand that fear is not necessarily a bad word. The Bible says of Cornelius, who was a good man, that he feared God and offered alms unto the Lord daily. The Bible says that we are to come before the Lord with reverence and with godly fear. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, did Job fear God for naught? That is, did Job respect God and then there's nothing here? Job understood that he honored him and God blessed him. His three friends didn't understand it. They didn't grasp it. Factually, they were saying unto Job, you know, you have feared God for naught. I mean, look at what's come to you, all this calamity, and you respected God, but look where he has left you. He's left you in desolation. Your children are dead. He says your wife has told you to curse God and die. All of your herds have been taken away. You have been reduced from prosperity down to poverty. Your own welfare. And where is your God? But Job still held him in great respect and reverential fear. But the fear I want to talk about tonight is not that fear, but it is a fear of apprehension. You know, I think any one of us tonight could truthfully say there have been times that we have been fearful. Now, you may be fearful of something tonight. There may be something that is going on in your life, and if the truth were known right now, you are fearful of something. People are fearful of a lot of things. People are fearful of having a heart attack. People are fearful of getting cancer. People are afraid of contacting the flu. I think I told you that I went out and got my flu shot the other day. And, you know, we do, there are a number of places where you can get your flu shot this week. And I wasn't really fearful in the sense of getting it. I just wanted to exercise good judgment and getting it. And I will tell you that I went out to the Mont Alba Baptist Church to do that. But I did ask the nurse, I said, now, if I get this injection, this does not mean I'm going to be a Baptist, does it? We're all fearful. What does fear do to us? Have you ever thought about you? What does fear cause you to do? Does fear cause you to act or react irrationally? Most of the time it does. Let me tell you what it does. And first of all, let me tell you that according to Paul in the book of 2 Timothy, he says that God did not give you the spirit of fear, but rather he gave you the spirit of love and of a sound mind. Did you know, I think what Paul's really saying is that fear and a sound mind can't live in the same heart. You know, you're either going to have a sound mind or you're going to be fearful. It's like faith. You're either going to be a man of faith or you're going to be a man of fear. Either fear will control you or faith will control you. Let me tell you what fear does to us. Fear often divides our mind. Even when we think that we are sound in the faith and our mind is focused on what it ought to be, you know, something can happen and then we become so fearful it dominates our mind. It's very closely akin to the word worry. And it really does. It controls us. Fear controls us. Most of us have a fear reaction to a lot of things in life. I remember back when the stock market here a few months ago plummeted and we were having all kinds of problems here in America, and a lot of people rushed out and got rid of their stock. They wanted to get out of their 401k. I mean, you know, they wanted to totally just bail out and get their cash and put it under their mattress. How foolish that would have been. But that's what fear causes. It divides the mind. It shatters our emotions. Have you ever noticed how emotionally upset you can become because of fear? Fear will drive you up the wall. You can't think straight when you are controlled by your fear. And we are a lot straight when you are controlled by your fear. And we are a lot of times. People were fearful of losing money. People were fearful of losing their job. People were fearful of losing their stock. All kinds of things. Fear not only divides our minds and shatters our emotion, it impedes our progress and life. Sometimes that's true of the church, isn't it? People in the church sometimes get so fearful of life, and we're afraid to continue to launch out by faith and do what we need to do. But you know what? God said to Abraham, and he says it to us too. He said to Abraham, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And you know what? You can go back in the annals of history, the Israelite nation, and you would find that God said that to all leaders. He did. He said it to Moses. He said it to Joseph. He said it to David. He said it to Jacob. And those who followed, generations that yet followed. Because that goes back to a promise that he really made to Joshua, wasn't it? He said, if you keep the words that I have given unto Moses and fear not, and he says, if you are courageous, he says, you will prosper, he says, whithersoever thou goest. Let me tell you something else, which a lot of people think, and I really don't think that way. I would tell you also that experiencing fear is not a sin. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me through the years, "Oh, don't be fearful. You know, that's a sin." Now, let me tell you something. You follow what I'm trying to share with you tonight. Being fearful is not sin. How you react to it could very well become sinful. You see, because fear, in actuality, causes us to do a lot of good things, too. It is our response that really matters. Fear, as I said in itself, is not a sin. Because sometimes fear has a way of protecting us. Why don't you walk out in front of that automobile out there on the road? You're afraid of being hit, aren't you? Why do you drive with your headlights on at night? Well, you would be fearful of not doing that. Fear sometimes protects us, but it also motivates us. How many times have you ever heard of people sometimes maybe out on the road? And I have heard of this. I do know some people that drive without their headlights, by the way, at night. But anyway, how many times have you heard of people maybe out on the highway, maybe they come upon a particular accident or a wreck, and, you know, maybe someone is trapped underneath the vehicle, and then they have this surge of adrenaline that just kind of takes over, and they're able to power lift an automobile. You ever heard of that? I've seen it happen. You think, how in the world could people do that? Fear. So fear is not a sin. It can become sinful if we react to it in the wrong way. Fear should not live in the life of a Christian. You don't live by fear. But there are those times, those moments when we experience fear, and if we respond to it in the right way, it can be a very good thing. On the other hand, the Bible defines courage. How is it defined? God said in the book of Hebrews 13 and verse 1, "Do not fear what man shall do unto thee." Wasn't that really what he was telling Joshua? Listen, he says, I am going to be there. Listen, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide them for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And there shall not be any man who will be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." God says, I'm going to protect you. And you know what? Didn't Jesus say the same thing? He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Courage is that attitude of mind and heart that enables us to face the dangers of life and the obstacles and the challenges of life fearlessly, firmly, and calmly. You know, most of us just get up in a big tizzy over something. I mean, really, you know, we get, something goes on and we just, you know, throw up our hands in despair and we don't know what to do and we're just jumping around here and we, you know. Hey, we ought to be people that rationally think this through, be very calm, and do what needs to be done. There are times when we need to be courageous. The Bible says that Paul was on a missionary journey and he had set sail for Rome, where he had written that epistle. He says, "I long to be with you." And there was a need, and certain brethren came out to greet Paul and to minister to him. And the book of Acts 28 says that Paul took courage and he thanked God for those. When waiting upon God, we have to be courageous. Get rid of the fear. And the Bible in Isaiah chapter 40 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and faint not." And we have to be courageous. When we're facing imminent danger, again, instead of allowing emotions to take over, we have to be governed by our faith and our courage. And when we're surrounded by that uncertainty in life, and there are many of them every day, when you get out of bed, folks, let me tell you, it is uncertain what's going to go on that day. I have learned that, you know, we can all make plans about what we're going to do. Every day when you crawl out of the bed and you start thinking about all the things you're going to do today, things you're going to get accomplished, rarely do any of us ever get it done. But when we are surrounded by uncertainty, trust God. And when challenged with something overwhelming, trust God. And get rid of fear. Fear can immobilize you. It can. And that's why we are challenged in the Bible to not fear. Someone has realistically said that There are 365 times in the Bible, I checked this out one time, and it is true, over 365 times, you will find the little expression, "fear not." And someone said, that's one for every day. You know what? And it's true, isn't it? Every day when we get out of bed, we ought to say to ourselves, "Fear not. God says, I am with you." Isn't that really what David said in Psalms 23? It's a really a beautiful psalm, and we always like to quote it and repeat it. But if you remember in the context of that psalm, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of that shadow of death," he says, "I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." I'm going to tell you something. That's the greatest assurance I have every day, that God is with me and that God blesses me. I am not fearful. I won't react out of fear. I will serve him honorably. Do I ever get fearful? Well, occasionally. Do I ever experience fear? Occasionally. But I don't live by fear. I live by faith. And most of the time, even when we react in fear, we just kind of have to come back down and say, "You know what, Lord? You're leading me. You're guiding me. And I'm going to trust you." And I hope that's what all of us will do even more so tonight and days to come. Hold on to God. Let him lead you. Let him guide you, and he will. He does guide us. He does lead us. And if we really believe that, then we don't have to live by fear, whatever it is. And if you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you feel in your heart of hearts that perhaps maybe you've been living more out of fear than out of faith, it would be a good time to turn your life around. Whether you need to respond in a public way, that's your call, not mine. But if you need to do that, you want the prayers of the church here in your behalf, that might help you as a Christian to find that strength that you want, then it would be a good time to do that. If you're not a Christian, then obviously God's invitation to you is to become one. And that takes a lot of courage too, doesn't it? To get rid of the fear and start following Jesus by repenting of your sins and turning to him through the confession of faith and by being immersed or baptized for the remission of your sins. And he has promised it.